one moment. You haven't the faintest conception of what I went through with your dear Robert. The ingratitude! It was I who made a man of him, sacrificed my whole life to him, and what was my reward? Absolute, utter selfishness. No, but listen. He was pottering along on about 600 a year when I married him, and mark my words, Hilda, he'd have been in that position to the day of his death if it hadn't been for me. It was I who had to drive him every step of the way. He hadn't a spark of ambition. It was like trying to lift a sack of coal. I had to positively nag him to take on that extra work in the other department, though it was really the beginning of everything for him. The laziness of men. He said, if you please, he couldn't work more than 13 hours a day, as if I weren't working far longer, for my day's work wasn't over when his was. I had to keep him going all evening, if you understand what I mean. If he'd had his way, he'd have just sat in an armchair and sulked when dinner was over. It was I who had to draw him out of himself and brighten him up and make conversation. With no help from him, of course. Sometimes he didn't even listen. As I said to him, I should have thought good manners, if nothing else. He seemed to have forgotten that I was a lady, even if I had married him, and all the time I was working my fingers to the bone for him, and without the slightest appreciation. I used to spend simply hours arranging flowers to make that poky little house nice. And instead of thanking me, what do you think he said? Said he wished I wouldn't fill up the writing desk with them when he wanted to use it. And there was a perfectly frightful fuss one evening because I'd spilled one of the vases over some papers of his. It was all nonsense, really, because they weren't anything to do with his work. He had some silly idea of writing a book in those days, as if he could. I cured him of that in the end. No, Hilda, you must listen to me. The trouble I went to entertaining. Robert's idea was that he'd just slink off by himself every now and then to see what he called his old friends, and leave me to amuse myself. But I knew from the first that those friends were doing him no good. No, Robert, said I, your friends are now mine. It is my duty to have them here, however tired I am, and however little we can afford it. You'd have thought that would have been enough, but they did come for a bit. That is where I had to use a certain amount of tact. A woman who has her wits about her can always drop in a word here and there. I wanted Robert to see them against a different background. They weren't quite at their ease somehow in my drawing-room, nor at their best. I couldn't help laughing sometimes. Of course, Robert was uncomfortable while the treatment was going on, but it was all for his own good in the end. None of that set were friends of his any longer by the end of the first year. And then he got the new job, a great step up. But what do you think? Instead of realizing that we now had a chance to spread out a bit, all he said was, "Well, now, for God's sake, let's have some peace." That nearly finished me. I nearly gave him up altogether, but I knew my duty. I've always done my duty. You can't believe the work I had getting him to agree to a bigger house, and then finding a house. I wouldn't have grudged it one scrap if only he'd taken it in the right spirit.